Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Roderick. Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
Stop opinions. I respect your opinions. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me. But in my mind, I'm better than him. I do it once, I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. I'ma buy a car, hard cut cards, and get tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. This is the home of Rodri Giggs on football, and we are here to talk 45 minutes of non-stop football. The transfer window is open. The rumours have started. But best of all, the FA Cup is back this weekend, and I'm looking very much to talking about a variety of stories with my good friend Rodri, as we're back to our usual spaces of me in Cardiff, Rodders in Bolton. We're not next to each other no more, mates. It was nice for a week.
You say in the usual spot. I'm not. I'm in my bedroom today because I've got the kids downstairs. So they've both, one of them
taking over the room.
One of them's obviously got a PlayStation here, but the one's staying over for a few days, so he's brought his as well. So they're both downstairs. I thought I'd move instead of an ask them to move.
They booted you out, in other words, mate.
Yeah,
they've taken over. No, like
dog upstairs.
Sorry, just been invaded by my kitten. Let's get rid of you before you cut us off. It was cool last week. Like, you obviously been in the same place. something which we've talked about before as a possibility in the long term, I think, be nice. But we're back to normal, mate. And there's loads to discuss. We will discuss the Super Six predictions and all that sort of stuff. Unfortunately, I genuinely can't load it up at the moment, so I cannot go through it. What I can tell you is that I'm probably winning. That's all we need to know.
Winning what? Super Six?
None of it.
No,
I've had a...
You haven't won one for weeks.
I've had a bad 2 weeks, mate.
When you're scrolling the page now, I can't even see you. You're like way down there. I can't be asked going down that far, so...
Mate, you're 4 points ahead of me. Yeah, let's not talk about the FPL.
Like bottom feeder, mate. Absolute bottom feeder, the FPL.
I reckon I've got to be bottom of the league in the FPL. I've got to be.
Like three or four points from bottom, you are rotten.
Embarrassing.
My trajectory just going, like, you're just going.
On the way up, mate. The prediction league, mate, I'm literally, like, I think 4 points behind you or something. Like, I'm very close. Yeah, it is. Here you are. I got it up now. Here we are. Can't have this slander going on.
At least.
But yeah, so we'll do our predictions at the end of the evening and whatnot. Obviously, it's FA Cup, so I want to talk about some of those games and whatnot. First thing I wanted to talk to you about, something which caught my eye earlier or yesterday was Dean Saunders on TalkSport. Right, Dean Saunders is someone who actually, as TalkSport people go, I quite like him. I quite like he's relatively balanced, relatively well informed. He's not quite on the hyperbole of some of the others. Certainly nowhere near the realms of Agbonglahors and these types. But he's one of the better ones. And then yesterday they were talking about United. And he was talking about Dave Brailsford. And he said, why are they bringing in a cycling guy who knows nothing about football and this and that and the other? And I was just listening to him go on this kind of big, long tangent about why Dave Brailsford was not appropriate for United if that's what, they want to get football people in. And I was just thinking, the guy literally works for Nice now. And they, not long ago, were top of the French league ahead of Paris. Like, they've turned it around at Nice in the last 12 months. But not just that, he's there as the figurehead, if you like, the boss man. And then he's going to bring in the likes of Paul Mitchell and Dan Ashworth and the football people to work underneath him. But I just thought Dean Saunders was either very ill-informed about what Dave Brailsford's about, or...
You mean another person in a high-end job in radio or football not doing the research? You mean...
But it's embarrassing, mate.
That really does shock me, really does shock me.
I don't understand. Or the other option is, in TalkSport, they just have two hosts or two people, two pundits or whatever, and they give them both something to sort of argue and say. And it's not actually what they believe. They just give them a script, effectively. Now, that would be very cynical to believe that. But I believe that Dean Saunders is...
Again, they're talking about Man United, but they've obviously got to keep it busy. So they've got to do that. But I remember our kid telling me about Dean Saunders, saying, he was funny, he was really funny. And I met him a couple of times, and it was at a sportsman's dinner. Oh, my God. He was, he wasn't funny. He didn't come across boring. He's had multiple football jobs, and now he's in radio. So, obviously, these people got to give an opinion, but was it as a real opinion? Does he know the facts? He's not going to be making football decisions. He's going to bring the best people in for that. So, yeah, Dean, do research. Good.
And the other thing is, Dave Brailsford has made a career in sport, whether it's cycling or other sports, on getting that extra 1% out of every department he oversees.
That's what I thought straight away when I seen it. He's a cycling guy, so I did a little bit of research.
He's just very good at what he does.
Yeah, exactly. He gets results. So,
yeah, and I mean, if they get the people they're on about, like the three in it, the Paul Mitchell, Dan Ashworth, and Blanc from Juve, I think he's at, like those three people in terms of football and their individual sort of roles within it. So, like, Dan Ashworth will be in charge of the kind of the academy set up and getting people for the future. Paul Mitchell will be doing the transfers, and Blanc will be like the overseeing the football side of things. Like, those three are pretty much top of their field individually in their jobs. Like, there's no one better. And I just think if Sir Dave Brailsford makes those appointments, then I think it's a very shrewd move. But they are appointments. They're not things which are going to change United on the pitch, you know, Saturday. They're things that are going to change United over a period of 3 to 5 years, maybe longer. So it'll be interesting what they do around the transfer window and things like that. One thing they've been linked with very heavily this week is Jadon Sancho leaving on loan to Dortmund. I think that's a no-brainer. But the one which really I found interesting, mate, was Thomas Muller coming to United from, I think, is he at Bayern now or Dortmund? I'm not sure where he is actually at the moment. But he, obviously, Thomas Muller, German legend, has won everything in the game. He is 34, but he's also exactly what United need. Like, that's why people were saying when they signed Hoyland, they should have tried to get Kane too, because they needed someone for the now who was experienced and clever and a good finisher, but then takes the pressure off Hoyland. And to me, there's only one other striker who still plays in European football that I'd want Hoyland to learn from, and that's probably Harry Kane. I would put Muller second in the list. I think he's that good. But how would you feel if they are able to bring in a Thomas Muller for on loan for the end of the season or, you know, whatever it may be?
Well, for 6 months, yeah, it makes sense. But for long term, no, you've just said it there.
No, of course. But,
yeah, because obviously Martial just a non-starter. Rashford playing up there is a non-starter. Yeah, it's like a baby, doesn't run about, don't use his body, can't play the position, even though he's played there multiple times, just doesn't want to play there. So, yeah, we do need someone else there. But
I don't think you get much better than that, mate, for 6 months. Like Muller.
No, his experience, and obviously, like you say, it'll help the young kid out. So, yeah, we need all we can get at the minute. But the experience, sure, coming from good stock, being a good player, got a good resume, and be a good person to have around the place.
But I'll tell you one thing, mate, as well. Do you remember the impact that Casemiro had on the group last year with his mentality? Casemiro and Martinez are both back in full training as of today. If you then add someone like Thomas Muller, that's three winners, three people who've got a mentality of almost like United past, where they won't accept jogging about, or they won't accept Rashford watching his fullback run past them. They haven't got that attitude and they haven't got that mentality in them. So it would be interesting to see, you know, with these injuries, when they get players back, how they can improve. In my opinion, a very shrewd signing. You know, whether it comes off is another thing, because it's it's very difficult to judge these things in transfer window. It's particularly in January, because you never know what's rumor, what's not. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned your brother just now. I wanted to ask you, you've been linked with taking over at Salford City. Do you think that's a starter, a possibility, a good move if it comes off? Makes sense, I guess.
I mean, Carl Robinson.
I think that would be a great appointment, I've got to say, Carl Robinson. They need something, mate. They're really, really struggling this year.
They have had a manager that's been promoted, left Salford, got team promoted, and is now in the first division. So they did have a person, and he's from Salford, and he's an ex-player. But, you know.
So what went wrong with that then?
Diddly daddle, give someone a few months and then get rid. Obviously, they've got to give this lad, the bloke, 18 months, because it's one of their own who they brought in. So, and that didn't end up well by all accounts. But, you know, I don't want to speculate, but.
What do you think is going wrong there at the moment? Because obviously they've been doing so well going up the leagues and progressing. This season they just
it's coming on a more level playing field now. So this is where you need stability. You need players that are up for the fight, that are going to stick together and, you know, give their all. But, you know, it's stability, having a way of play, this chopping and changing can't have helped in the last 2.5 years. They've had four, five managers. And then he's preaching on fucking Sky Sports that, you know, they should be doing this, they should be doing that. I'm like, what, boot him in the head because he's saying, I'm like, sort the fucking my club out first before you start preaching about some other club, because it's just a shambles. Maybe he stepped away from it, so that, that's why the kid's been given a lot longer, but it's still a shambles in a minute. It's just that with the manager, when they definitely had a manager that was capable of getting promoted, they just needed to put the grubby little hands out and just let managers manage.
So do you think the problems this season have come about where he has taken a step back, or is he taking a step back because of the problems?
No, I just think he's taking a step back because he's obviously got other things, other commitments as well, you know, Dragon's Den, Sky Sports and other things that, that he's connected with. So, plus, he's not really done a very good job. You'd expect to do what they did with when they got promoted because they got the money they were throwing in. Yes, the managers did well at Burnham and John Oak. They got promoted three times and then got sacked. So they bring in another manager. They bring in another manager, bring Richie Wellens in, who's played for him from the area, been promoted with Swindon. So he's done it. He doesn't get enough time. He doesn't get a year. And then leaves the club, gets a second division team promoted. Now he's in the first division, comfortable in the middle table. So, you know...
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What can I say? It's just at the minute, they're under pressure because they're at the bottom of the league. They get promoted.
Well, they're in danger of going down, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's interesting because
you should see some players coming in. That's the way they usually fix it. They'll be panicking. We need some quality in. So they'll be looking about quality.
Well, I think I mentioned, I can't remember if I mentioned it to you or someone else, but obviously Wrexham are sitting in third in League Two. And one of the really shrewd signings they brought in the summer was Stephen Fletcher, he had already been doing quite well, got a couple of assists, was creating, but he started banging in the goals. And I mean, even at his age...
Ability. Stockport County doing pretty well.
No, yeah.
Stability.
Like Stephen Fletcher, even at his age, will score goals for fun. If he gets like... you know, a bit of form. Well,
they have got Matt Smith. He plays in the Championship for Leeds. So they've not got a scrub up there.
He's
not mobile enough. He's big, he's strong, but he's not quick. So, it's, you know, if you've got a big centre-half, which in League Two you're going to have, they can handle this kind of thing.
Should be able to. I mean, obviously, and in Wrexham's case, they've got Paul Mullen up there as well, who scores goals for fun at that level. The interesting thing with Salford, mate, is you mentioned Richie Wellens. We had Richie Wellens on the podcast with me and Andy back in the, you know, when we were having different people on each week. And I remember being struck by when I was speaking to him, it was clear that he's very knowledgeable, like from a tactical point of view, and like the way he was talking about the game and football. He wasn't just like another ex-player talking about his career.
Well, Richie Wellens is, you know, he was a good player. He played for United. He grew up, he's obviously a Salford lad, grew up in the United system, left United to go, I think it was Leicester, and had a really, really decent career, okay career. But then obviously going into coaching, gets promoted with Swindon, obviously gets it, is probably not his dream job. His dream job probably United, but the second to that is his hometown, his home city club. Gets the a chance to do it and then doesn't give enough time and then gets sacked and then obviously goes in and does well. So, you know, it's all right being multiple Premier League winners and very good footballers, but League Two is a totally different animal. And these footballers need to just, you know, just be an owner and just let these managers manage and do what they do. Because if one of three of them decided to do it, they'd probably do a good job. But, you know, they chose not to do that. But, yeah, I'm in Kyle Robinson, but I could be wrong.
So I read yesterday that Ryan was being heavily linked with it, and I thought...
It wouldn't surprise me. You know,
it makes sense, doesn't it?
going to get much stick. Only on away grounds. It's close to home. It's a safe option for him. It's always there. It doesn't surprise me. Anything safe. Nothing out of the box or taking a chance. Or it's a safe option. Same with the Wales. It was a safe option. Yes, it could go wrong, but ultimately it was a safe option.
And I think as well it's a way for him to get back into the game, I suppose, isn't it? Like, if there is bigger clubs which don't want to... If they're
good to there in a League Two club, then where do you go from there?
Well, that's I guess, like you say, it's the safe option, but I suppose in one aspect, it's almost, there is a bit of risk to it, because if it goes horribly wrong, like it has for Rooney at Birmingham, you kind of, where do you go from there?
Yeah, but if he's in there, he's going to get back to the hilt.
He's one of the owners, isn't he?
Yeah.
So how's that work? He'd have to sack himself, or I don't know how that works. It's a
tricky situation, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be an awkward conversation, I'd say the least. on Rooney, mate, 16 games at Birmingham. We talk about all the time, like the lack of time that managers get. I think there's two aspects to it. First and foremost, they should never have sacked Paul Eustace. He was flying. They were playing great football in the top, in the playoffs. There was no conceivable reason to get rid of him. There's that aspect of it. And then there's the aspect of, was Wayne Rooney ready for a top sort of championship job? Some would say no. Some would say, well, you've got to give him a chance at some point. My argument would be, once you give him the chance and once he's got the job, whether it's at Birmingham or anywhere else, 16 games is not enough to implement your playing style or anything else. 16 games is just not enough for any manager.
No, it's not enough. Like we're talking about, touching on there, Richie Williams. But first of all, like you said, first bad decision is to get rid of the manager that's got him to six. You know, usually come in, you either the manager's been poached, or what's happened here. But it's a strange. Usually, coming to a club, they're in a bit of a sticky situation, unless that the guy's been poached and you've been doing well. But he's obviously tried to change too much coming in. Which is probably an inexperienced coach, even though he's an experienced player, and they've got it wrong. They've never really been close. I've watched them as well. Not enjoyable watch. Always getting battered by at least two goals. So it's a result business. They look at it and think, we're going to bring some players in here. We're going to trust this guy, we're going to press the panic button and get rid and bring someone else in, which they've done. So, it's a difficult one, but it's a result business. And if you don't get results and you've got an ownership that are impatient, then this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, they almost put themselves into this position where they didn't have a choice, did they? Because it was, there was almost two aspects to it, because the fans didn't want him. Like, they didn't fancy him in the first place. So it was always a bit of an uphill battle with the fans. But, fans, like, if he was winning football matches, the fans would have soon been fine.
His decision-making in management has been shocking. Why the fuck would you stay at Derby like when you stay at Derby? All right, his reputation was very good at Derby because it did really well from the points they had deducted. But then he tried to stay with him. Then went to America. Didn't do very well there. And come back here and told the Birmingham City job. I'll tell you why he told the Birmingham City job. In my opinion, all right, it's a big enough club and it's got a nice model, but it's flipping half an hour from his home. This is what these people think. It's convenient. It's
that's never a good reason to go somewhere, is it? Like, convenience.
No. And Birmingham. But what's your connection to Birmingham? Could you not have waited for a job that you've had? just the Birmingham, you just don't just, yeah, Birmingham, Wayne Rooney just didn't mix. So obviously didn't mix and he's down the road. And his reputation,
so you know,
not well as a coach at the minute because, yeah.
Birmingham. Is his reputation better or worse than Steven Gerrard's currently?
Well, Steven Gerrard won league. As a coach. League.
Yeah, okay, I suppose.
Steven Gerrard did very well at Rangers. Yes, he didn't do well at Villa, but then we've seen that with Unai Emery coming in doing what he's done with the same players. So there's a difference with a top player and a top coach. These coaches have been doing it for how long he's been playing. So while he's been playing, he's been learning the game. And this is what these coaches, these ex-players forget and seem to just think, oh, because I've played the game. It's just not the same. This is why you need to bring a very, very, very experienced coach in with you, which he's done usually. You know, Gary McAllister, Beale, but this Beale seems to have gone on now on his own. So maybe it was that connection. You know, we've seen it before. So, no, Steven Gerrard's got a much better reputation and, you know, a much bigger bank account while he's over.
Playing for 400 fans a week. It's look,
yeah, when you're getting paid 400 grand a week, it eases the blow.
Yeah, I bet. Do you know, obviously, like I mentioned, the fans were against Rooney from the get-go, really. And but I still stand by, if he had won football matches, the fans would have been on side very quickly. Like, I do believe that 100%. However, do you think there was any part of the playing squad who weren't on board with him?
Yes.
Because obviously those players were playing for John Eustace.
Yes, yes, definitely.
So they must have been a bit pissed off.
There was one performance where he said he could have subbed all of them except a 17-year-old. No,
that was the other week, wasn't it?
Performance like that early on. Yeah, it's alarm bells, mate, alarm bells. Because, you know, it's all right being a great player, but, you know, that only lasts for so long, that when you're in the dressing room, players look like players, I wouldn't care who you was. Can you coach? Can you get us win games? And if you're not, then, yeah, it's not going to go well. And see.
The other thing, mate, is football is changing all the time. So, like, he retired, was at Derby a bit, and then he's gone to America for at least 18 months. Was it 2 years? Was he in America? He was out there for at least a year or so, you know, 18 months. Like, I think the difference in the American game to the English game and the Premier League and the Championship is so vast that even 2 years away from it you can miss things that, you know, changes in the way teams play. Like, you look at the Championship, mate, and particularly like that sort of top 15, a lot of them, they're so experienced at that Championship level and their squads are proven Championship players. And that's why it's so
tight,
difficult.
Though. It wouldn't surprise me. It's tight, though, always. I wouldn't surprise you now if someone come into Birmingham and you see Birmingham around the playoffs at the end of the season.
Well, mate, if they've got any sense, they'd be trying to get John Eustace back in, if you ask me.
You would think, wouldn't you? Knows the players. But they're done wrong.
Let's if you're him, though, mate, surely you're telling them to get lost.
What?
If you're John Eustace, surely you're telling them to get fucked.
Well, they're still paying him, so it makes sense.
I suppose he's
obviously expressed he would be open to it. So why not?
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels
you know these businessmen that are not gonna they're not gonna cut the nose up to spite the face.
Yeah, it feels dirty. Let's have a look at some of the comments. Reese said, I'm sure Muller has been playing number 10 for the last few years rather than a striker. But I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a problem for the way United play, because if they set up with, say, Casemiro and Mane.
Well, it is, mate, because they keep on throwing Bruno around all over the show and he's too erratic. He needs to just sit in one position.
But that's what I'm saying.
Don't want to see you getting the ball off the centre half. So I want you seeing you in that number 10 position, creating.
But that's what I'm saying. I think if you put, say you've got Casemiro and Mainoo as your two in midfield, and then Bruno and Muller, you can have Bruno make runs. What I mean is, like, Bruno is quite happy to get forward and get in the box. So if Muller drops deep, Bruno will go beyond him, is what I mean.
Drops deep in a four-man midfield. How does that work?
Well, it's like he does similar to what, like, Kane does, where he'll drop into the space and create for others.
He's playing as a number nine, but he'll drop deep and Bruno.
Yeah. And then Bruno would just go beyond him. I don't think that's a massive issue.
It's an option, but we need a striker who scores goals.
Yeah, of course.
Not 34-year-old.
He's a great finisher, mate.
Who doesn't get?
But I think with Muller, even if he plays every other game to give Højlund a bit of a break, and Højlund can kind of just take the pressure off him, because Muller is a great finisher. So I do think that he'd be an intelligent short-term signing.
They need to go forward, not getting a 34-year-old guy who's not getting games on Bayern Munich and coming to United for what? We need a guy who's going to score the goals. Is he guaranteed to score
the goals? So, someone said, did you see Rooney's son was messaging someone saying Birmingham players are shite? They were going to sign 12 players in January, including Raul Jimenez. And then he made comments about the players. And now he's gone. I hadn't seen that, I've got to be honest. But I mean,
hey, he's 14, mate. Come on. He's
just, yeah, you can't hold anything against people.
But, you know, if he keeps on responding to this stuff, it's not going to go well for him. So I won't respond.
Yeah, you've got to just not respond, haven't they? Like, I feel sorry for him, mate. I look at my own 14-year-old and I wonder how he would deal with.
Unfortunately, I know what he's going to have to go through, but he's supposed to be a good footballer. Hopefully he gets looked after.
Yeah, mate, because, like, I know how much stick you've had over the years, like, but when I look at my 14-year-old and I think, I'm like, what would it be like for him if you just got strange blokes who you've never met just messaging you, abusing you, going, your dad's shit, your dad's this, that. Do you know what I mean? It's
granny,
brutal.
Granny jagger this, granny.
Yeah.
So you know, got to remember he's a 14-year-old kid and just
exactly,
you know,
that
he'll learn. Obviously, hopefully, didn't learn the hard way. Keeps on commenting, but you know, especially when it backfires on him like this. So just concentrate on your football. He's got a new girlfriend by all accounts, so enjoy that.
Sure, exactly that, mate. And obviously, Rooney came into a setup where Birmingham were doing very well. And then suddenly they're not doing very well. It doesn't look great for him in the aftermath. He's going to have to do something to repair his reputation as a coach. Maybe he goes somewhere as an assistant or as a first, like as an actual coach.
I don't see that happening.
I don't know where he goes from here, really, mate. But
something will pop up, mate. 6 months, football changed pretty quick. 6 months, people forget, and he'll get another job. It's Wayne Rooney.
Be managing Salford, mate, now before you know it.
You've been having 2 years, but he's getting offered the Everton job.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him pop up at Everton in the next 10 years.
That was a good one to turn down, to be fair, because he could have ruined himself there at his hometown club.
Yeah, I think that could have gone.
Possibly not even got relegated.
Could have gone horribly wrong, couldn't it? If he had taken them down. Like, you think how close they've come to relegation in the last couple of seasons. That could have gone horribly wrong, I think, is the word. Yeah. Right, let's have a look at some of these FA Cup final fixtures. Any of them sort of take your fancy, where you think, oh, that'll be a good game? I'd love to look at some.
1 minute.
So Palace are playing Everton as we speak in the FA Cup.
I've seen that. But
let's get the fixture.
Is it Arsenal playing someone? Who's Arsenal playing? Arsenal Liverpool, that's the one.
Do you think both teams will rest a lot of players?
I think it'll be half and half.
What would you do, just very quickly, with United? Would you rest players against Wigan? Would you play a strong side? No. Would you
rest players? They've not played for what? When was the last time they played?
Yeah, it's probably at least a week, isn't it? And also, they've got no European football. They've got no League Cup football. So this is their...
When was the last time they played? They haven't played since Saturday.
Since Forest, yeah.
Yeah, since Forest. So, and they don't play till Monday. So No, I'll be playing every, the strongest team possible. Because imagine you don't get a result there.
Fucking hell. Yeah, you'll be mate. I think if
you know the pitch is a shit. The pitch will be great, mind you. The rugby's not, so it might be all right. So, but yeah.
What? How are Wigan doing this year? My screen's frozen, so I can't bring up the league table.
What,
but
what league are they
in? In the League One, isn't it? League One.
They are 17th.
Oh Jesus! So that's a bit like one, if United lose that, mate.
Five, lost 10.
If United lose that on Monday, then Ten Hag will go in my
opinion. This is why you can't be resting players. You got used to play strongest team. Jobs on the line.
The thing is,
you get beat that fucking Wigan, the knives will be out.
Yeah, and Martinez and Casemiro will have trained for a week, so you could get some minutes in their leg, give them half, or give them an hour. Yeah, if I was him, I'd be playing as strong a team as possible.
Perfect game for that, mate, because usually they'd play a reserve game or. This is more like a reserve game, Wigan, a League One side. So this is that's where I'd look at it anyway.
Would you play the other keeper, that Bayern Dia, because obviously Onana's got to go soon.
Yes.
You've got to have a look at him at some point, haven't you?
Yes. I doubt he will, but yes.
No, I don't think he will either. But I suppose maybe the reason he's not in too much of a hurry to look at that keeper is because he knows he's got Tom Heaton, who's there. So, you know, Tom Heaton's a reliable Premier League goalkeeper. You know, he's not in that top tier, but he's a reliable Premier League goalkeeper for a month that they could use if the young lad's not up to it. Sunderland versus Newcastle, mate. It'll be a good FA Cup game on the weekend. I'd like the sound of that.
Sunderland Newcastle.
Yeah, I think that's a great
game. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
The Michael Chopra derby. You got the Liverpool game. Oh, my bloody screen's freezing, frozen. So I can't even bring up my my predictions at the moment. Who do you think, right? Like, I know it's impossible to say with any semblance of analysis, but who do you fancy for the FA Cup this year?
I've got a sneaky feeling for Newcastle, but I would like United to be thereabouts, but you know, usual suspects, mate, innit?
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal have got a good recent record, haven't they, in the FA Cup?
Obviously, one of the big ones going to go out because of Liverpool Arsenal, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's one last team. I'd like to see a Villa or someone maybe prioritise the FA Cup. That'd be nice to see. But they're going to go for, you know, the likes of Villa, Newcastle, they're all fighting for top four. So they're all, if it comes down to it, going to prioritise the top four over the FA Cup, which is insane in some ways that you prioritise a league position that's not top over winning a trophy. But it's just the way football is now, isn't it? It's unfortunately. But I wouldn't be surprised if United have a good run in the FA Cup. I also wouldn't be surprised if they went out on Monday. But I just got a feeling that Ten Hag will use it. Last year in the League Cup, all the way through, he played a really strong side. And I think he'll do that again. I think people are underestimating the impact on and the amount of injuries that United have had. And that impact on how it will improve the team when they come back. Do you agree with that? Obviously, you're a United fan. You watch them more than me. Like, I look at the injuries they've got, and a lot of them are the players who he relied on last year as his strongest team. So, of course, they're not as good as they were last year because those players who he relied on last year haven't been in the side with the new signings.
Yeah.
It's like common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like the likes of Mason Mount and that haven't played with Martinez and for any semblance, you know, or Casemiro and Amrabat and these people, they haven't played with the players who took United or did well with United last year. So It is a tricky one because United have been that bad that you almost think, oh, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if Wigan went and beat them on Monday. Who do you fancy out of Newcastle and Sunderland, mate? Just I'm trying to get my Super Six
Newcastle?
Up on them. I believe so, yeah.
You'd expect Newcastle to win, but that'll be a tough one, that. Be a tough one.
Sunderland would be bang up for it, mate, wouldn't they?
Yeah, defo. Defo. Oh, no, it's at Sunderland.
Is it? Ooh.
Yeah, so 50-50 that, mate. 50-50. So you'd expect Newcastle to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sunderland got a result there.
Oh, Sunderland just reminded me of something I wanted to ask you. One player who I thought
Newport.
One player actually in that United Forest game, which just caught my eye a little bit, mate, was that Diallo, who came off the bench for United. I think.
He looked lively, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I thought he used the ball well, but he also, when he did have a little dribble, he beat his man very easily.
He looked threatening as well.
I'd start him against Wigan, I would, mate, because Anthony's doing feck all.
Yeah.
Rashford, well, we've made our feelings clear on his attitude recently. I think Garnacho could probably do with a little rest because he's started. He's played like 90 minutes most of the time recently. So I don't think, you know, you could give Garnacho a rest, play Diallo off the right, Hoyland and then whoever off the left. I suppose you'd have to play Rashford. But Mason Mount's back in training as well. So, I mean, the players are coming back for him. I can't access my predictions for the Super Six, mate. So if you can get the...
Go on, then.
If you're able to get the thing up, I'll just tell you my predictions. Because for some reason, I can't get it going.
Stoke versus Brighton.
Oof. 3-1 Brighton.
I'm going to go... it's going to be nice. What's the weather going to be like when...
It's supposed to be all right on the weekends, I think.
No, I know.
Weather-wise.
It's windy. It's a horrible place, that. It's going to be sand. Yes. 2-1, Brighton.
Oof. Go on, lads. Away, QPR, lads.
QPR home to Bournemouth.
Ooh. Bournemouth, 2-0.
Yeah, I'll go Bournemouth. 1-0. Chelsea at home to Preston. 2-0, Chelsea.
Yeah, I think Preston have been pretty good this year. They've fallen off a little bit recently. Lost 4 of the last 5. Yeah, Chelsea. Chelsea 2-1.
Chelsea 2-1. Middlesbrough at home to Aston Villa.
Oh, what a game that is. Did you say Middlesbrough at home?
At home to Aston Villa.
Yeah, I'll go Middlesbrough 2, Aston Villa 1.
Oh, God, that's what I put. So I'm going to change it and put Villa 2-1.
Try and copy me again.
No, I've changed it. Yeah. Mine's already in. Look, I'm doing it. Yours is not. Manchester City at home to Huddersfield 4-1.
I'll go 4-0 City.
Ah, yeah, so he's copying him. Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Arsenal v Liverpool.
Oof, it's a humdinger. So I'm looking at the fringe players and which team's got the better fringe players. And it's quite close, you know. I'm going to go Liverpool to win 2-1 and Arsenal will have lost 3 on the bounce then.
I've got Arsenal 2-1.
Interesting. Is Arteta under pressure if they lose again?
Yeah.
They'll have lost 3 in a row, won't they, then?
Yeah. Well, they're still where they're in the league. They're still...
4th. Obviously, but they'd be out of the FA Cup. They'd be 4th in the league.
Yeah.
And they'd have lost 3 games.
I don't think they've pressed the panic button right now, right yet, but... Yeah.
Well, they'd have lost. They'd have lost three in the bounce
league anyway,
and they wouldn't. And they'd have lost three on the bounce, but they wouldn't have won a game for four games either. So,
yeah. So they're having
a wobble.
We're having an absolute shocking season. We're only 9 points behind them.
It's what I mean. People like talk sport and that, they get carried away and it's the world's ending and all this sort of stuff. And actually, when you break it down, it's not as bad as it looks, you know?
No, I've always thought that when these top four sides don't do well, they seem to, you know, when once you start picking up the pace and they start winning these like 2, 3, 4, 5 on the bounce, you fly up the table pretty quickly. Because not all these teams in the mid-table do that. So, but we'll see. Still a long way to go, and it's not great. The Villa game is okay, but the rest has been poor. So, but hopefully players coming back, we'll see what happens.
And I think this year the Premier League is much more like the Championship than ever before in terms of, like, say Liverpool, who are top, right, could go and play Luton next week, and Luton could get a result.
They got a late goal to win 1-0.
Yeah, or you could have like Forest in 15 beat United. You got, Sheffield United at bottom. They've lost three of the last four, but actually their form since they changed manager has picked up quite considerably. So it's really interesting to be the Premier League this year, because I think any team in the second part of the season which gets a bit of momentum going could end up, you know, having a good run at the end of the season and be in a much more comfortable place. I don't think that top four is guaranteed for anyone outside of Liverpool and City, really. I think everyone else is battling for top four. Would you disagree with that?
No.
Because I think Tottenham, Arsenal, West Ham, Villa, Brighton, United, Newcastle, maybe even as far down as Chelsea, if they go on a run of, you know, 10 games or whatever, lots of wins, they'll be up there and they'll be in that top four. So it's going to be fascinating watching the Premier League this year. It really is, because I think it's there for the taking for anyone, whether that's a new side like a Villa or someone to get the top four, or a Brighton or a United to get themselves together and push on. It'll be fascinating to watch, but it really will. what you got going on the weekend then, mate?
Little Ellen's got chicken pots. Can he play a football game if he's got chicken pots?
I don't think so. It used to be once they crossed over, innit? They can sort of mingle again.
He's got game Saturday, first game, but I don't think he'll play. But tomorrow I'm playing golf at the Marriott.
Of course you are.
Chilling Saturday, obviously. I'll take him to football, but he obviously won't be playing. But and then Sunday, golf again. I'll have a Sunday roast in Albert's. I won't tell you the place or the actual place. But Albert's Sunday roast, absolute stalwart in there on a Sunday. Sunday roast, beef, Yorkshire pudding, oh, the lot. But home,
read it.
6 o'clock. No, actually, it's booked for 6 o'clock. So I'll eat that straight home. For about 7:30, sit in baby bed and get me and Steve Hansen for the next 5.5 hours with no adverts on NFL Red Zone.
There you go. And there's UFC on Saturday. You've got and Kaloff versus Johnny Walker on Saturday as well. And Jim Miller's fighting. So there's a couple of good fights. Ricky Simone.
Zero alcohol taken.
Yeah, well, Christmas has been brutal, haven't it?
Well, I haven't really drink over Christmas, to be honest, but yeah. No alcohol.
Every time I saw you, you had a pint in your hands.
That's the only drink I've had in about a month. The kids' lives. I'll tell a lie, I had a beer when I had with my food a couple of days ago. But that's it. That's about 3 pints for about a month. Don't drink.
Yeah, me neither. I tend to have like one when I do the fan shows and that. Look, just
see,
one.
That second one you missed, bought me. I threw it half that way. Give it back.
I know. I turned around. I thought I had like a mouthful left in my drink, and we were packing away. And I turned around, and my missus went, "Roger, you just tipped his drink in your flipping glass." I was like, I had a little shit because if I was drinking shandy, wasn't I? Because I was driving, and you bloody chucked it in my beer.
Yeah, you allowed one, aren't
you? Yeah.
I'm sure you didn't let it go to waste.
No, my missus had a. She loves a lager. So Reese's mum, who works at a school, she said, if the chicken pox is scabbed over, then you're allowed to like mingle and, you know, do whatever, like basically. But you got to wait because when they scab over the spots, they're not contagious anymore. Yeah. So you can effectively go and play football.
It's
as long
still
as
gaining new spots in it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So I'll have a look at them tomorrow. I'll have a look at them tomorrow. Checking. So nice one, Lorna. It's good to know. But yeah, some of them are scabbed over, but if he's still getting new ones, then yeah,
you can't. Can you?
No football for him tomorrow. I mean, Saturday.
The other parents won't be happy if you go and give the team chicken pox, isn't it?
Another week off for the kids. They've got to stay at home. Yeah, I'll be.
Did you go back this week? Or are you back on Monday?
Monday.
Today started off brutally bad. It's ended quite well, mate. And when one door opens, another 65 opens.
No one dies. It usually does work itself out, mate.
Yeah, that's it, mate.
There's a good community out there on Facebook.
That's it, mate.
And Ace Podcast Nation Facebook.
That's it, mate. In a bit, motherfucker. End it. I can't end it. We're still live. Don't say anything. We're still live. Don't say anything.
Dog's getting giddy. Look at it. Dog's getting proper giddy.
Sports Social Podcast Network.